Last week we left off in verse 17, Romans chapter 1, with the Apostle Paul quoting Habakkuk, "The just shall live by faith." We're going to pick it up this morning in verse 18, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men." Jesus Christ became our propitiation. Propitiation is a big word. It means the appeasing of God's wrath. That wrath that was meant for us. And Jesus took on the full brunt of God's wrath when he died upon the cross. He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus Christ became our sacrificial lamb to die in our place. But for those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the wrath of God is revealed. All the unbelievers, all those who have rejected the free gift of salvation, will meet their Maker one day. They will all stand in front of the great white throne judgment and be judged, not for a certain sin, but because they didn't receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They will be cast into the lake of fire. All those who hold on to ungodliness and unrighteousness, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Every man, woman, and child in this world, throughout all generations, were created for one purpose and one purpose only, to worship God. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Every unbeliever has a God-shaped hole inside their heart, longing for God. They're looking for love, and I remember that's how I was. I was looking for love in all the wrong places until I found Jesus Christ, my true love. They're all looking for love and never finding it because it can only be filled with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It's right in front of them. The truth is right in front of them, and yet they suppress it. They hold it back. You know, it's hard to be an unbeliever. You know, I was thinking before I was an unbeliever, gosh, this could be hard to be a Christian. Just the opposite. I can't imagine. It was really hard being an unbeliever because you're suppressing the truth. You're holding that back, and you know it's wrong, and you're just holding back the truth. Verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You know, we look at creation itself and see the marvels of God. You know, there's so many things. I mean, there could be trillions of books written about the marvels of God. We just take a look at the human body. Take a look at the human eye. The human eye processes 130 million light-sensitive rods and cones that convert light into chemical impulses. And then they send these chemical impulses at a rate of 1 billion per second into the brain. You know, even the evolutionist Charles Darwin said that the human eye was a stumbling block to his theory of evolution. He said because even a fool would believe that the human eye evolved. It was so amazing. I mean, how could you not look at all this and believe in God? And you think about the animal life. You think about, they just finally have gone down so deep in the ocean. And they've got cameras down there. They see fish with lights on them so they can see. I mean, how can you not believe in God? How about I'm amazed at this. You know, you got the maple trees, and they got the little whirly birds. Because if they didn't have those wings on them, the seed would drop straight down onto the root of the tree. All the nitrogen is sucked up by those massive roots. The seed would quickly die. But God put helicopter wings on them, and they go like this, and then they fly away from the tree so that they can plant. Amazing. When I think about the animal kingdom, thinking, wow. I mean, you have your choice of, what, thousands and thousands of examples? What about the golden plover? Man, this bird, smart bird, lives in Alaska, vacations every winter in Hawaii. Smart bird. He goes 2,500 miles nonstop every winter. And then he flies back to Alaska, has some kids, right? You know, and what's amazing about the golden plover is that to make this trip, they have to gain weight. But they can't gain too much weight because they won't be able to get off the ground. So somehow they know exactly how much weight to gain. And then they take off, knowing, this is amazing, knowing they'll never make it. They'll never make it 2,500 miles to Hawaii. They know this. Unless they fly in V formation. Cuts down the wind resistance, and it saves energy. Smart bird. And it knows when it reaches Hawaii, it will have a reserve of 10% left of energy, just in case of headwinds or anything. So these birds fly back to Alaska. They have their kids, right, little chicks. And then they feed them. They're growing up. And then the parents, it's time to go to Hawaii. They leave the kids behind for 2 weeks. They want a little me time, you know, get away from the kids. And they want 2 weeks, a honeymoon, second honeymoon in Hawaii. And so they leave their little chicks in Alaska. It's amazing. 2 weeks later, the chicks gain weight. They know exactly how much weight to go. And they make the trip. Never been there. Never heard of the place. They know exactly where to fly, and they'll fly right back to the parents and join them in their condo on the beach in Hawaii. I mean, it's just amazing. It just blows my mind. You think about, with all these miracles of God, how can anybody be an atheist? Seriously, it is harder to be an atheist than it is a Christian, for sure. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Jesus said in Matthew 6:23, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Unfortunately for us, most of us know how dark and wicked man's heart can be. Very, very wicked. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Whenever I read this verse, whenever I see this verse, I don't know, my mind goes right to college professors with all their doctorates and degrees, and you just hear him talk, you know, about how there is no God, you know, and just proclaiming nonsense in their ignorance, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, our old pastor in Phoenix, Calvary Chapel Phoenix, was a street preacher like no other. He went into the Hell's Angels camp, preached the gospel to Hell's Angels. He witnessed to Ken Kesey, the one who wrote One Who Flew the Cuckoo's Nest, led his girlfriend to the Lord. And it was just a wow. I mean, this is a crazy guy. Had a beard down to here, long hair, you know, had one of those rim hats. And this is a crazy looking guy. But I remember he went into Berkeley, and all these college professors just saw him kneel. They just wanted to tear him up. So So he's standing out on the oval, and he's proclaiming Jesus. And all these professors came down and just started ripping into him. John, especially this one professor. And John just said, you know, you guys are really smart. I got to tell you that. But I can tell you one right thing we're in right now. If you just bow your head right now, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life will change forever. And that top professor, he just broke down. He said, oh, I envy you. How can your brain is so simple? Oh, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Paul, again, writing this to the believers in Rome. Rome had thousands and thousands of gods, just like Athens did in Greece. Thousands of gods. Deuteronomy 4:15 says, take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged animal that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water and beneath the earth. So there it is in black and white. You know, don't make an image of anything on the in the sea, any image of a man, and worship that image. You know, the nation of Israel, when they came into the land of Israel, broke these commandments right away, started worshiping idols. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So why did God give them up? We have to go back to verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify God, him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So God gave them over to their lusts. In verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We see all around us, don't we? The worship of the creature instead of the Creator. People want to save the whales. Killing babies, nah, it's no problem to them. But boy, saving the whales. Saving the eagles is very important. And you see this earth worship. And, you know, it's, especially in New Zealand, it's very big. You know, Mother Earth, and it's all for Mother Earth. We have to serve Mother Earth. We have to worship Mother Earth. Isaiah says in 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's our world today. The world is totally upside down. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use, what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, having the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful. So, of course, we're talking about homosexuality here. And here is written in black and white, and it couldn't be any clearer than this. Committing what is shameful. You know, homosexuality has been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's been in most of the worldly empires throughout all the centuries. Very important to note this, that homosexuality will not keep a person out of heaven. And there are churches, I know, that teach that, hey, this is the unpardonable sin. It's not. Of course it's not. The only sin that's unforgivable is the rejection of Jesus Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. We become a new creation in Christ. Doesn't mean we don't sin. We still sin. And so when we do sin, we confess before the Father. If we confess our sins, He, Jesus, is faithful and just to to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is forgiveness for all. But with that said, problem with sin, including homosexuality, is it starts the decline of a nation. It starts the decline of a society. Every nation has fallen from within. I remember a couple of years ago, I took a couple of my employees out to lunch, went to a place where they had a lot of TVs, and they were college students that worked for me in the summer. It was about the time that Bruce Jenner decided he wanted to be a girl, I think 2 years ago. And so it was on all the news and stuff, and I said, what do you think of this? As I knew, I mean, you know, when I was in college, 30s, you know, 2 years ago, we had words for people like that. You know, women, you know, guys dressing up like a girl. And I said, what do you guys think of this stuff? And they go, and it shocked me. It really did shock me. These were two guys, they were muscly, I know both of them had girlfriends, and they go, oh, we think that's the most wonderful thing we've ever seen. I mean, they said, oh, it's great for the world, it's great for society. I mean, Bruce now can be the woman he always wanted to be. I was like, oh. You know, and it really shocked me. I mean, we live in a society that transgender homosexuality is not only accepted, but it's favored and protected. Think about the changes America have seen in the last 60 years. We are no longer a nation of Leave It to Beaver. Anybody remember Leave It to Beaver? And the Andy Griffith Show, my favorite. I used to never miss an episode of the Andy Griffith Show. You know, things have changed in the last 60 years. There's a scene in Back to the Future. Anybody remember Marty McFly, Back to the Future? Yeah. Love those movies, man. Just give me some popcorn, and I'll be watching those things all night long. But he goes into the future from 1985 to the year 2015, and he sees what a mess the world has become. And he cries out, if you remember, he goes, what happened? And it's like, what happened? That's what we should be saying. What happened? I mean, what happened? I mean, it's crazy when you think about what's going on in the world today. You think about if we had DeLorean time machine and we went back in time to the year 1955, let's say we just parked right outside of a high school, 1955, Columbus, Ohio. And we asked, doesn't matter, a student, female, man, doesn't matter. Hey, you want to take a ride to the year 2017? Sure. And so you flew them up here. But when they're here, they not only can see what's going on in Columbus, but they have a whole idea of what's going on in society around them, what's happening in the schools all around them. I think the shock would be incredible. The first thing they would be say was, wow, it's no longer chewing gum is the major problem in school. You have students killing students and teachers. You have teachers having sex with their minor age students. You have, hard to say, girls kissing girls and holding hands in the hallways, which is happening today. You have boys holding hands doing the same. The teachers are confusing the students by telling them they were born this way. Seeing STDs flowing through the high schools like a tidal wave, getting inspiration from the internet that they watch. Seeing the use of drug and alcohol in epic proportions, just in the public high school. I mean, all this stuff, when you take, it's just because of taking God out of society. They took the Bible out of the classrooms in 1963. And you just saw this moral decay, not only in the nations, but especially in the public school system. It just created this vacuum for sin. Someone from the 1950s coming here would be amazed also at marijuana is legal almost in every state. Well, it soon will be. Because in 1955, it was illegal to have, if you were caught just with an ounce of marijuana, it could be up to 1 or 2 years in prison. Also, it would be a shock to find out that homosexuals can do whatever they want, and not only whatever they want, but they were protected by the U.S. government. I mean, in 1955, all 48 states, sodomy was illegal with up to $20,000 fine and up to 4 years in prison. All 48 states. Someone coming from 1955 would also be shocked that we are killing babies even after they're born. Saving the whales, no problem, but killing the babies. I mean, it would be a total shock to that person. And that's what's happened in the last 60 years. It would be total shock and awe, and it's all about the desensitizing of a society. It's all about the desensitizing of a nation. There was a movie that came out a while back, and it's still rated today as one of the most awe-shocking movies, frightening movies, that ever came out to those who saw it. It wasn't Jaws, it wasn't The Exorcist. It was a silent movie that came out in 1903, 12 minutes long. You can see it on the internet if you want. And it's called The Great Train Robbery. It's 12 minutes. And they first started showing it. And it showed a guy, you know, getting hit over the head with a lump of coal. They're fighting. Guy pushes him off the train. And at the end of the movie, a cowboy shoots right at the screen 3 times. Bang, pow, pow, pow. People were fainting. Women were screaming. It was unbelievable. And they had just been shocked to death. They couldn't have never seen it. Most people have never seen anyone getting shot before. And they felt like they were getting shot. And so they said, women all over, passing out, screaming. And it said after the first showing, it was silence for like 10 minutes afterwards. Because they had been shocked. The women who passed out woke up, and they started clapping. And they said, we love it. Shock us some more. We want it. And finally, after 4 times, the theater owner had to throw them out. He goes, okay, come on, you guys. You didn't pay for 4 times. So when you think about this, you say, come on. That was just a movie. Someone getting shot, and they were like shocked to death. It's because we're used to it. Society has been watered down so much that we're used to this. We're in 1903, 114 years ago, it was a major shock to society. It is estimated that by the time a child leaves elementary school, he will witness 8,000 murders and over 100,000 acts of violence. Time a child leaves high school, will witness 200,000 acts of violence and 40,000 murders. Remember that experiment in the 50s where they took a frog and throw him in boiling water? They'd see him jump out right away. Then they take the frog and put him on. You can't do that today. The animal rights people can't come after you. Put a frog in the pot, put it on simmer, and that frog wouldn't go anywhere. Just simmer and slowly die because he was just slowly getting used to it. And that's exactly what's happening in society today. Just the heat, just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. I'm amazed how many, even Christians, have accepted society as, oh, it's okay, you know, they can do their thing, it's okay. We won't want to talk about it in church. This is church. the immorality going on around this. You know, it's like this. If I just say one word, I'm going to say the word bestiality. Everybody, what do you think about when I say that? It's kind of like, oh my gosh, don't say that. How could you say that in church? That's where homosexuality was 60 years ago. If you mentioned homosexuality, people was like, oh my gosh, that's not true. How can it be true? And it was a shock and awe. And that's where we've come. Jeremiah 8:12 says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall in the time of their punishment. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I was thinking about when I was reading this, when's the last time I blushed? When's the last time America has blushed? I actually think America is beyond blushing. And proof of this was something that happened 25 years ago when our president of the United States, Bill Clinton, had the thing on with Monica Lewinsky. Well, the New York Times ran a editorial cartoon on the front page. And in the first frame, it had a little boy run up to his mommy. And he said, Mommy, Mommy, someday I want to be president of the United States. The next cartoon frame showed the mother spanking the child. And the child said, Mom, but what did I say? What did I say? And it's really where society's at. We've come so far. Nor did they know how to blush. In receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Romans 6:21 says, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, I quote this many times. If we confess our sins, He, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter if it's homosexuality. Doesn't matter if it's adultery, fornication. It's all forgiven in the eyes of God. In verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God that gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality. My son Stephen and his fiancée, Olivia, live in Victorian Village. We went to go visit them about a month ago. And he goes, hey, let's go over to Jenny's Ice Cream. So we walked over to High Street. And I noticed that we're passing these bars as we're going to Jenny's Ice Cream. And bars were packed. And one thing I just couldn't get over, that the bars were packed with men, but there was no women. And I passed another one, all guys and no women. Like, wow. And then I in an alley, I saw these three, you know, women, looked like women. I realized they weren't women, dressed like women. They were like, you know, and they're hustling themselves. And I was like, wow, in Westerville, I must be protected. I'm really sheltered in Westerville. But it's, you know, but where's all this going? You know, in Canada right now, if I would probably be arrested for even saying what I'm saying. It's against the law to say anything about homosexuality or transgender. And it passed. You know, there's a chapter in Leviticus, chapter 18, talks about the degrading of a nation. And it starts off with mild sins. Hey, don't have sexual relations with a close relative. And it goes all the way down to the end of the chapter. And then the last two are homosexuality. The very, very last one was bestiality. And then God says, and I will vomit you off the land. And, you know, we think that's not where society's going. Of course it is. God says, I will vomit you out of the land. Think about the society of Judah. it quickly declined because of sin. You had Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, you had Jehoiachin, then Zedekiah, and it was all over. God sent the Babylonians against them. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, can't say that word for some reason, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, verse 30. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, involving, unforgiving, unmerciful, is the world in which we live in today. Verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 tells us, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Justified, of course, means just as though we have never sinned. And so Jesus Christ died for all sin. And it doesn't mean that even we all struggle with sin. Even someone who is homosexual, who comes to the Lord, if they struggle with that sin, all they have to do is ask for forgiveness, and God forgives them immediately, no matter what the sin. So with God, there's grace and there's mercy. But again, it's the acceptance of sin in a society in which we live. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you. We praise you for being an awesome God. Lord, the book of Romans is all about grace and mercy. Lord God, we are not saved by works. Thank you, Jesus. But we are saved by the abundant grace and mercy that only you can give. Father God, we just thank you that we can come before you when we do sin. We have an advocate before the Father. That when we confess our sins to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, so, Father God, you remove our sins before us. And when we get to heaven, Lord God, you choose not to remember those sins against us at all. And then we stand before you as purified, spotless, justified, sanctified. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just pray that you'd go before us this week. Again, equip us for all good work. We want to be faithful to you, Lord. Do the things that you've called us to do. Be with us this week. Guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.